Timothy. I'd like to say we're going to be there for a little bit, but you never know with the Lord. But I plan on preaching a couple, three times from here. I've just seen so much in it. So go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going to try to get the first seven verses in, focusing on that seventh verse, I think. Purpose, thinking on purpose. Thinking on purpose would be our title. You gotta purposefully think sometimes. You gotta think on purpose. All right? Sometimes you just gotta make up your mind to think different. Is that all right? That's what we're gonna try to get to, thinking on purpose. Let's just get there. We're trying to get down to verse 7. So if you don't mind, I'm gonna take the long route to get there. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Is that where y'all are at? That look familiar to you? Ain't that neat? Second letter to Timothy. He's wrote so many letters. He's done so many things. He's had so many experiences. God has shown him so much and let him do so much. But listen how he titles and addresses who he is. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, right? By the will of God, according to the promises of life, which is in Christ Jesus. He never, ever, ever gets over being saved. He never, ever gets over Jesus Christ. It's never a light deal to Paul that Jesus sent him. Jesus called him. God, Jesus saved him. Jesus met him. And it never gets old. When he addresses a letter, he always puts that the only way this is going on in my life is because of what Jesus did. Ain't that? I'm amazed that how many ministers and ministries can be about a whole lot of things but forget about the main thing. You know, I mean, if you've been saved by Jesus, you've been changed by Jesus, it's hard to get over. I mean, it's hard to talk to people and describe anything without adding the fact that, hey, Jesus did this. Amen. And I know these are letters to churches, but I mean, after a while, you just think, hey, this is, you know how we write letters? You put our name up on the top, from, to. He don't do that. He don't ever get over it. Every time I read these, I'm always excited about that. Hopefully, it keeps us stoked up in that we don't ever get over it. Amen? We don't ever get over it. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice what he tells him to get. He don't talk about money, don't talk about a job, don't talk about a calling, don't talk about hope God's taking care. Listen what he asks. Grace, mercy, and peace. Because guess what? If you get grace, mercy, and peace, no matter what's going on with you, when this letter arrives, that'll cover it. Don't talk about a whole lot of other stuff. I mean, when he's a first address, look, I'm praying. What I'm praying for you is grace, mercy, and peace. That's what you need to be praying into other people's lives. People that you care about, people that you love, that you see them struggling, don't say, oh, God, take away the struggle. God, give them a big dose of mercy, some grace, and God, let them see the peace in it. Amen? Because you don't know if he's going to remove whatever it is. You ever been there where you're praying? You want God to do some big thing. That's how you start your prayer. God, do this big thing. That's what they want. And you come in there and you better come in behind it and say, God, be in there with that mercy and grace and peace too. I mean, I love that. I just, you see the care that he has for Timothy. But if you care for somebody and love somebody, it's amazing what you pray for them to get, right? I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Paul loved Timothy. It don't make any sense, but Paul's, I said this last night, Paul's the big bull. Timothy's a little bold. When you're serving, you take everything from the pot off the stove, you put it in a big serving bowl, and then you serve everybody else in little bowls. God's the pot. He's where all the good comes from. He pours into Paul, who's a big bowl, because he tend to wrote 15 epistles of your New Testament, and he's pouring into Timothy. But he loves Timothy. He loves the relationship that him and Timothy has. And if you've ever ministered to anybody, there's nothing greater in the world. There's no better feeling other than being saved and knowing Christ in relationship. There is no better feeling than to seeing somebody you've ministered to get it. Get it and then do something with it. If you see somebody out there that you've ministered to, that you've shared the gospel with, that you've put in some time and discipled them and loved on them and prayed for them, and the next thing you know, they call you and they say, I'm going to the mission field, or I'm pastoring now, or I'm teaching now, or I'm doing a Sunday school class, you're sitting there going, man, that is so good, right? Or you got somebody under and you go away for a weekend and you let somebody who's been sitting under your teaching teach, and you come back and say, man, that was so good. Man, that was awesome, right? That's what Paul thrives, and I mentioned this. When you pour into those little bowls, eventually, sometimes, a lot of times, those little bowls come back and pour into you, and you need it. You need it. You need people that you've ministered to ever so often come back to you and pour into your life. So he said, I can't wait to see you. Now, I love this part right here. I'm going to preach a little bit if y'all don't mind. I love this part in verse 5. He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother. Did y'all see that? Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Unfeigned faith. I mean, uncontrollable faith. But guess who it was in first? His grandmother and his mama. You can pass down a godly heritage. You can pass down a godly heritage. You can have that means there is no limit to their faith. They just believed. They had faith that, hey, if God said it and a man of God said it, I believe it. I'll put my money, my time, my effort, my love, my passion behind that, and I'll follow that. I have unfeigned faith. That means unfettered faith. I mean, I am not going to limit what God can do. He goes, and I see it coming in you too, Timothy. Man, that should encourage us to be better Christians for the people that are coming from behind us. I sat and heard a conversation today. We're talking about what the last generation did and what they didn't do. I look at that differently. I think you got a period of time to run. You got a period of time to run. You got a period of time to serve. And if you're still breathing, you're still running. You better run the best you can. I don't care. Can y'all mind if I dig into that just a little bit deeper? That one, that guy, he's a little bit older man, but he ran right there at the end. He ran a race. If you're in the middle of your race, you feel like, well, I didn't start good. Hey, there ain't no, we need all the middle people we can take. Start running. Start running. I mean, run. And if you're early, probably about four of you here is early. I'm going to blister us, man. Blister us. Outrun us. Go by us. Just act, I mean, show out. You ever, y'all don't even know. I was in the Marine Corps, and we had a little guy named Garcia.
I wish I could remember his first name, but that was 20-something years ago. Garcia. He was about 5'6", weighed about 140 pounds, but could run like the wind. We ran 3 miles for the PFT. That was a small run. But this boy would take off in a dead sprint. Woo! At the start. You know, and I was a bigger guy, so I was running, you know. And I'd come running, all of a sudden he'd come running back where the turnaround point. And he was smiling and just running. And I'd always go, Garcia, how far to the turnaround? Not far at all. He was lying. It was still about a mile and a half away. But he could run like a 14-minute, 3-mile pace. He was amazingly fast. He could outrun everybody and never breathe. But when he would come by you, he would show out. You guys look tired. You're like, I want to kill you, right? That's what we want. I'm not saying braggadocious or being boastful. But man, run. Run for God now. Stop trying. Well, what if I'm not qualified enough? Nobody is. What if I'm not smart enough? Nobody is. What if I don't know enough of the Bible? Nobody does. And if you ever run into somebody that says, I know plenty of Bible, get away from them anyway. Avoid them at all costs. No, I'm just kidding. I don't mind people saying they've learned a lot, but you'll hardly ever meet anybody worth anything that'll tell you that they know it all. If they do, I'm scared of them. I'm scared of them. Amen? But I like the challenge there that it was even evident to Paul that it just wasn't because of Timothy was just a good kid. He had good people that ran before him. Verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Let's break this down. I love this. Have you ever noticed Paul and Peter are always talking about, in their letters, they're always talking about stirring up. They're always talking about stirring up. And when I've studied this word and I broke it down a little bit more, the stir up part is literally a better word for that is to rekindle. Right? Kindle. That means throwing in fresh wood and stirring up the old flame. Yeah, y'all know how to stoke up a fire, right? When a fire gets, it's still hot, it's still burning, it's still nice, but if you want to feel the heat from a little bit of distance, right? If you want to feel it throughout the room, you're going to have to go in there and you're going to have to stoke up the fire and you're going to have to put some fresh wood or fresh kindling in there with it. Right? That's what he's talking about when your relationship with Christ. And he's talking to Timothy. Paul's writing this to Timothy. He's saying every once in a while, you're going to have to rekindle the flame. Throw in some fresh. Stir up your mind. Stir up your heart. And stir up your prayer life. And say, God, challenge me again. Send me again. It almost reminds me of when Caleb come into the promised land. Caleb was 80 years old. You said I was going to have my land up in the mountains. Well, golly, that's when you was 40. I can still do it today. All right? I can do it today. You got to rekindle. There is no way. If it's always written in there, that means there is always the propensity. There's always the opportunity for us to settle. And to be happy with a fire that's kind of letting down, right? We can feel it, but nobody else can, right? We know it's still there. We know we got a relationship with God. We know we're good, but nobody else can tell. Do you know if you stoke up a fire enough, everybody can tell, right? If you stoke up a fire good enough in a house, everybody, hey, open a window. Hey, what are you doing, right? Some of y'all in here know what I'm talking about. You got stuff melted on the walls because you stoked the fire up so hot, right? Well, I'm freezing. Next thing you know, you ain't freezing no more, right? Okay, well, that's what you got to do. You got to do that to the point where somebody says, hey, man, this Jesus in your life is overwhelming. Yeah, it is. It is an overwhelming fire. It's overwhelming fire in me, and it'll be an overwhelming fire in you, right? That's just a challenge. I love this. And this ain't even where we want to preach. We want to get down to verse 7. And this is kind of where I want to be at tonight for you, a word of encouragement. Let me read that again in verse 6 because I want to see it again. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Man, this is hard to beat. This is hard to beat. That spirit of fear is hard to beat. As a pastor, I get on a regular basis, I get people who call me and they talk to me and a lot of the conversations go this way right here. Kevin, I'm not afraid to die. I know that I'm saved. And I know it ain't right, but I fear. But I worry. But I struggle. Is there anybody in here like that? Well, I'll tell you, we get that a lot. You know what I always want to tell them? I do too. I do too. But this verse is there for a reason. We make it, it says, for God, so where did that spirit of fear and worry and regret, shame, where did it come from? It didn't come from God. It comes from the enemy, the devil. It comes from our circumstances. It comes from our own stinking thinking. Write that down. That last one is us. Mostly. It comes from our own stinking thinking. Right? Mostly. We don't stay thinking about the promises of God. Or we don't stay thinking about what God's doing. We think about the circumstances. What has happened. What is happening. And what might happen. Golly. I spend a lot of time when I'm in my stinking thinking. I'm not worried about what has happened. I'm not worried about what is happening. I'm thinking about what could happen next. When I'm really in my worst place, in my worst thinking, I'm thinking about what's going to happen next. And I'm already trying to get depressed, have some anxiety about it, worry about it, thinking about what I'm going to do if this and that. I must be the only one. Y'all got this. Y'all know what to do. Y'all know how to pray for me after we leave here tonight. Right? But look, I come up with a three-point plan to beat this. How do we think on purpose? How do we begin to think differently? If we find ourselves in a situation where we're worried about a health issue, a financial issue, or a crisis in life, or a family issue, what are we going to do? What are we going to do when the devil comes and tells you, well, you ain't nothing, right? You ain't nothing. God ain't going to help you. You're all alone, right? Well, I'm going to do this. First thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go to Psalms 40, 1 and 2. Y'all go over there with me real quick. We won't take too long. We're going to go to three places. We're going to go there pretty quick. I go to Psalms 40 and 1 and 2. I remind myself where I came from. Amen? I remind myself, you remind yourself of where you came from. I waited patiently for the Lord. That's Psalms 41, 40 and 1. 40 and verse 1, I'm sorry. And I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Man, that's where everybody in this room was. That's where everybody in this room was headed. We were headed to the pit. We were headed to hell. Every single one of us were. And Jesus, by His grace and His mercy and His love, reached down and pulled us up out of that miry clay. I got to remind myself all the time, it could be worse. I could be lost. I could be in a place where I'm not saved and know where I'm going to spend eternity. I could be in that place and be as happy as a lark, healthy as a lark, have as much money as I want to have everything working out in my family, but lost. And I would be miserable. I'd be a miserable wretch. Amen? That's what I've got to remind myself all the time of that. God did not leave me in my sin. We're all going to pass away. As soon as Adam took of that tree, God told him, death has entered into the world. Everybody's going to die. I'm not changing the outcome of your flesh. I'm changing the outcome of your spiritual man. I'm not changing the direction of your flesh. It's going to die. I'm changing where you're going to spend eternity. And I've got to remind myself, man, God didn't save me to live forever. My tent is not going to be lit. We're not going to dig deep here. We're going to dig deep there. That means we're going to live long there. This is the short place. So I've got to remind myself, man, oh yeah, Lord, I'm just a pilgrim passing through. I'm just coming through. This is the short place. It's okay, Lord, I got you. So when I start feeling that anxiety, that fear, that spirit of fear comes on, I gotta think on purpose. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Thank you for, you know what? You start thinking on salvation, it'll change your whole attitude anyway. Amen. You'll go from being in despair to being grateful. Amen. So listen, there's another part of that. Look at this with me right at the very end of that verse. Verse 2, look what it says. It'll go right with, we're going to run to Philippians 1 and 6. But I want you to see this right here. It said, He established my goings. Do y'all see that as you're going to Philippians 1 and 6? This will go right along with that in 1 and 6. He established my goings. All right? So I want y'all to look over in Philippians with me as well. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 6. Y'all good? Look at this. Being confident. Being confident, right? Of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? He started it. He started it. Amen? That's when the devil creeps in and says, you're not good enough. Who do you think you are? All that, you know? He's the one who begun the good work in you. And He's the one who's going to finish it. I'm not worthy of anything I get to do, get to say, get to perform, do whatever. I'm not worthy. But I did not start it. He chose me. He chose you. He began the good work. He will finish the good work. Y'all need, that's a reminder, because I'm telling you, every once in a while the devil will creep into your life and your own self, and you'll start making excuses of why you don't measure up to be some great saint of God. I'll just tell you now, you're not some great saint of God. Jesus saved you and He started the work. He established your goings. So if He established it, if He sent you, you must be saved enough. Man, I like what I just said. Y'all need to start saying that more than anything. I'm not good enough, but I'm saved enough. I'm saved enough to do what God wants me to do. I'm saved enough. That's a good saying. Somebody write that down. Melissa, make a note. Give it to me later when I forget it. I'm saved enough. And I didn't start this. God started it. And if God started it, God's not one of them. I do this to people all the time. God doesn't change His mind every other day. He doesn't. Have you ever met somebody who will come and tell you one day, God told me to do this, and then within a week, God's told them to do the whole opposite? God told me to go out here and do this other thing. You look at them and go, man, two things. God doesn't change His mind that much, and God is not a Chatty Cathy. No, you'll get that later. God just don't rattle off at the mouth that much. Some of y'all are laughing. In the Bible, He would tell great saints of God, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Elijah, He would tell them one thing and not speak to them for years. But somehow, old Joe over here, God just, every 15 minutes, just marry her, divorce her, marry that and marry that one, date that and don't do that one. I'm like, take this job, leave that job. I'm sitting there going, my goodness, me. You're on the wrong frequency. Because God don't do that to me. God does this right here to me. Kevin, go and do that. And I spend the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years going, another word, God, would be good. Maybe some instruction. Maybe a how-to manual. Drop something down. Give me some, hey, next do that. Are y'all experiencing that anywhere? But do you know what? I fall back on this right here. I fall right back to this. I didn't start this thing. God did. And if He started it, He'll finish it. And how will He finish it? The way He wants to. Amen? The way He wants to. Let's read that again. Verse 6. Being confident, right? Will you have to do that on purpose? Will that be purpose, being confident? Whew. Golly, bum. Paul, I bet he had to say, I bet he had to write that a bunch of times. In wherever he, if he wrote Philippians in prison, being confident, never mind. Being confident of this very thing, that He, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What day is that? The day of the second coming of Christ. He said, look, until it's all over, he can finish it. I always like to remind myself of that. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Always focus on the finish line. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at that. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. What are we going to do? We're looking unto Him. He is the finish line. A lot of times, if we're not careful, we end up like Paul, or we end up like Peter. We get our eyes focused off the finish line, and we start looking at all the things around us, the storms of life, the issues of our family, the issues of our finances, the issues of our whatever, our health issue, and we start thinking, oh no, and we got that sinking feeling. We start going down, right? We get our eyes on Jesus. We're running. You got to say it like this. God, you know, Paul had to remind himself, for me to live, amen, is for you. For me to die is gain. Amen. For me to live, that's for your benefit. For us to live as Christians on the face of this planet, God has a purpose for you to minister or do something for other people. You're using your gifts, your talents, your abilities to further the kingdom of God. You're here for others' purpose. Amen? For others' benefit. But if you die, not dying, not in the process, but when you die, you gain. Amen? You gain. Y'all have heard me say this, and I'll probably preach it till I stop preaching, right? I still think in the Bible that Lazarus is the maddest dude in the Bible. I really do. Lazarus, the one that was raised from the dead. I guarantee you, when he came out of that tomb, he looked at them sisters and said, what in the world have y'all done? I mean, I had crossed the finish line. I mean, I'm in glory. I mean, I am having it. I made it. And he comes back and says, look what y'all have done. You know? And you could only imagine him sitting there going, I mean, I know it's good. You get your family back. You recognize you're sitting there looking, you know what? This whole world just looks a whole lot dimmer now. You know? He wasn't dead 5 minutes. He wasn't dead 24 hours. He was dead for 4 days. He surely stinketh by now. I can just see him hopping out there. What in the world? Y'all doing? I made it. Y'all, you're not going to believe it. When the Bible says we can't even imagine what heaven's like. We God give us this desire to live and fight for our lives. But when we relinquish that, when God gives you the peace to pass on, when you get to the other side, you'll probably ask the question right off the bat, man, I wish I'd have got here a whole lot sooner. Amen? But then God will say, well, you know what? I needed you on that earth. For every minute I needed you on that earth. Man. Here's what I say. The Bible says that your life is but a vapor. Amen. I want mine to be a Halls Mentholyptus. Amen. That's what I want my vapor to be. I want it to kick somebody. I want the devil to know that I'm still alive. Amen? Or you know that Vicks vapor rub that your mom used? God. If you're sick, she'd slather it on. Oh, my gosh. I'll put that on you. And that, I don't know if it helped anything. I couldn't see or breathe. Man, that's the kind of vapor I want to be in the nose of the devil. I want him to know, hey, man, he got up again today, and guess what? I can't see and I can't breathe. Amen? He's all over us. That's where we want to be. But when you get to this place, let's go back to 2 Timothy. I know we're about done. Look, you can stand up if you want to stand up, if it'll make you feel like we're about to leave. I want let's read this again, because I know, read this every once in a while and apply these things. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance. No, that verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I probably could have broke that down a little bit more. You got power, but you know what? When you're feeling bad too, one other way to beat that, let's all stand. We're about to take it. Miss Betts, come get a song. Jody, if you want to. If you want it, there's another one other way to beat this thing. Love on some people. Amen? If you're going through a tough time in your mind and you feel like you're falling apart, go out and start loving on some other people. And a lot of times you feel start loving on some other people, a lot of times in shape worse than yours, your condition will all of a sudden start getting a whole lot better. You'll be like, you'll get home from your situation, going and ministering to somebody else, you'll get home and you'll think, man, my situation ain't so bad, you know? So loving on other people. So the power of love will overpower that spirit of fear. So I hope those three things help you tonight, and all the other stuff we're covered. We're going to be in 2 Peter. I don't know, maybe two more services. 2 Timothy, sorry. I just love that. There's a lot here. There's a lot of meat there. So we're going to try to come back and get on that.